All right, so we'll say good morning. There will be a stop at 8:10 for the coffee and the Eretz Hashem. There is instant coffee in the kitchen if anybody needs. All right, so we'll say let's begin our daf. This is Bar Fishley. Somebody just texted me that there's no sound.
Yeah, that's because I was running around.
Okay, so let's say, so our daf today is Ayin Zayin. We're actually going to start from the two dots on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. You're going to do a little bit of homework from the end of the Gemara to the two dots today. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Chaim Nachman. His wife Jackie had a bad fall on Shabbos and is having surgery this morning. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, she should have a complete and enduring refuah. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, all will be okay. So we dedicate our learning for the refuah shleima of Ahuva Bas Drezel Nechama, in the hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Jackie will have a complete and enduring refuah, and her surgery should be with Hatzlacha. So beginning Daf Ayin Zayin. Official, somebody texted me again that the sound is off. So I don't know. I'm leaving it. Okay. So we'll say, so we are starting again. The two dots, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down from the top. So Kisvu Utnu Get Leishti. So remember again, the Gemara is dealing with the Mishnah's case over here, where a husband says to his wife, there are actually two variations, thank you. In this case, in the Mishnah, the case that the Gemara is commenting on over here is the following. So write and deliver a get to my wife if I do not come back within 12 months. So the Mishnah then said, if they wrote the get during the 12 months, but delivered it after the 12 months, ain't no get. So the Mishnah ruled, Tanakama ruled, the Rabbanan ruled that it's not a get. However, Rabbi Yossi says, kazeh get. Rabbi Yossi says that this, in fact, is a valid get. So both says, now the Gemara wants to analyze this case. So top of, so Ayin Zayin. Amrami Rav Yemar Ravashi, Lema, kasav Rabbi Yossi, kasav get al tenai kosher. Now, I will say, so Rav Yemar has a very interesting and novel ruling, meaning what is Rabbi Yossi's logic why he says that such a get is kosher? So it could be that Rabbi Yossi holds that in general, that whenever you write a get with a tenai, the tenai simply falls off, and the get is kosher by itself. Take a look at Rashi, Rav Yossi. Says Rashi, sav get al gabi tenai, al tenai kosher. Rashi says, va'afilu lo niskayim hatnai. So Rashi says over here that this is so, even if the tenai was not fulfilled, daha hacha hutziva lichtov la'achar yud beis chodesh, ven kidmu v'kasvuhu umachshi Rabbi Yossi, v'nema namni da'aresha palik. So we'll say, so it could be that what Rabbi Yossi holds is that perhaps a tenai is ineffective when it comes to the get. And maybe lemaisa again at the end of the day, so when you write a get with a tenai, what essentially we say is the tenai kind of falls off, and the get remains intact. To which the Gemara says, lo, the olam emalach apostle, the shiny achas, so we'll say no. The fact Rabbi Yossi holds that when you write a get with a tenai, the tenai in fact holds. So why does Rabbi Yossi allow in this case for the get to be written during the 12 months and be delivered afterwards? Midahavile lememar imlo basi kisvu utinu, va'amar kisvu utinu imlo basi. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yossi holds that if the husband really didn't want the get to be written during the 12 months, and in reality, if he wanted the progression of the events to be, if I don't come back within 12 months, then I want you to only write and deliver the get after the 12 months, then what? He should have said, im lo basi, if I don't come back, kisvu utinu, write and deliver the get. But yet, that's not what he said. What did he say? Va'amar, kisvu utinu im lo basi. But what did he say? He said, write and deliver the get if I don't come back. Hachikamar, this is how we interpreted his words. Kisvu me'achshav, write the get now. Utinu im lo basi. And you could deliver it if what? If I do not return. V'rabbanon, lo shnahachi, v'lo shnahachi. So we'll say, therefore, it turns out that the machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon is how medayik we are in his words. So Rabbi Yossi will say that, lemaisa, again, if he was really insistent on the get not being written now, but only being written after the 12 months, then the way you should have phrased his tenai was, im lo basi, if I don't come back within 12 months, then kisvu utinu get leishti. The fact that he said kisvu utinu im lo basi tells us that what? That he doesn't mind ultimately, again, if it is written now. He doesn't mind if it's written now. He just simply doesn't want the delivery of it to take place until after 12 months. And the Rabbana, on the other hand, don't make this distinction. The Rabbana say, no, that Lemaisa, again, we assume that he wants this entire process done after the 12 months, to a certain degree, independent of how he phrased it. So Tan Rabbana, so we'll say, so now once the Gemara said this, now this opens the door to another number of discussions of timing. So for example, let's say a man says, Li'achar Shavua. So we'll say, in this context, Shavua means a Shemitah cycle. So let's say a man says, this is your get, if I do not return within the Shemitah cycle. So what's the halacha? Li'achar Shavua, Shana. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. What the Gemara now is telling us is that when a person says, for example, if I don't come back within the Shemitah cycle, so ultimately, again, the get should be chal. So we don't say that the day after Shemitah, if he's not back, then lemaisa, again, the get is ordered, the tenai kicks in and the get is valid. Rather, we give him a certain amount of time after the Shemitah year that he has the ability to return. Specifically, how long do we give him? We give him a year. So essentially, we'll say he gets the eighth year as well to be able to come back. Now, what's the logic of that? Take a look at Rashi. La'achar shavua shana. Zegitech, the case over here is where he says, this is your get. Im lo avo la'achar shavua zu. If I don't return after the Shemitah cycle, so we say, la'achar shavua zu, Shemitah zu, mamtinin lo shana shminis. Dechoshana shminis kruya achar shavua. So we'll say, the way he's saying this over here is, he's saying, if this is your get, if I don't come back until after Shemitah. So the Gemara is just saying colloquially, so the year after Shemitah is considered to be after Shemitah. And therefore, again, we give him the entire eighth year to be able to get back. Similarly, La'achar Shana, if he says, this is your get, if I don't return after a year, so what's considered to be after a year? Chodesh. So we give him a year plus an additional month. That extra month is considered to be part of the year. Next, La'achar Chodesh, if he says, this is your get if I don't come back for a week, then what? Excuse me, for a month, I'm sorry. Shabbos, we give him an additional week after that month. La'achar Shabbos, so let's say he says, this is your get if I don't come back within a week. So let's say again it's Sunday. A man says to his wife, this is your get if I don't come back within a week. So what's considered within a week? My Yosef Rabbi Zira Kamid Rabbi Asi Vi Amrile Rabbi Asi Kamid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Zira was sitting before Rabbi Asi. Some say it was Rabbi Asi before Rabbi Yochanan. The Ka'amar, listen to this. Chad Bishava Utrei Utlasa Basar Shabsa. So the general cloud is Rabbosai. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are considered to be what? Are considered to be part of the previous week. Therefore, again, if a man says to his wife, this is your get if I don't come back after a week. After a week doesn't just include Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, but it also includes what? The following Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Because those days are considered to be part of the previous Shabbos. However, Arba'o, V'chamsho, Umale Shabso, Kame Shabso, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are considered to be attached to the next Shabbos. So I will say, essentially what the Gemara is sensitizing us to is this idea that whenever a man makes a tenai, and that tenai is dependent on him returning within a certain time frame, so the fulfillment of the tenai doesn't require him to be back, or I should say, he's not considered to be in non-compliance with the tenai if he doesn't get back the second after that time frame expires. We see that there's an additional time frame afterwards in which he's still considered to be in conformance with the tenai, or right, meaning there's a certain amount of time afterwards that the tenai does not yet kick in. So if he says, if I don't come back within a Shemitah cycle, the get is chal, but he comes back again within the year, the eighth year, the get is still not valid. And again, you see each of these time frames have their own buffer. So what's the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Omer, Yachar HaRegel. What happens if he says, if I don't come back, until after Yom Tov, the regel, then the get is valid. So how long after the regel does a person have in order that the get does not yet go into effect? So the Gemara says, Shloshim Yom. So the Braisa says, Rebbe says he has 30 days. Rashi says, La'achar regel, Imlo ava la'achar regel. If a man says, this is your get, if I don't come back after the Yom Tov, achar regel, so Tzarech Lahamtin Lamed Yom. We give him 30 days after the Yom Tov to be able to come back. Nafik Reb Chia, Darsh Mishmei Rebbe, Vekal Suha. So Rabbi Chia went out and he taught this law in the name of Rabbi, and they praised him. Now, why did they praise him? Look at Rashi. So Vikil Sua, Yafa Amarta Devada Yichido Amra. They praised him. Why? Because they said this is a Das Yachid. In other words, it's another way of saying we don't paskin this way. Very nice idea by Rabbi, but Rabbi is an individual. We don't paskin like an individual. The halacha goes after the rabbin, and therefore again, if a man says to his wife, "This is your get. If I don't come back after the regal, after Yom Tov." The get goes into effect when? Immediately after the Yom Tov. You don't have 30 days. Now, Bosei, just as an aside, what's Rebbe's logic for saying you have 30 days after Yom Tov? What's his logic? So remember, the Ritva brings down that the logic behind this is, we have a general concept that 30 days prior to a Yom Tov already has a certain status of Yom Tov itself, right? That's again, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, 30 days before Yom Tov, we begin to learn the halachas of a particular Yom Tov. And again, even with Hilchos Avelos, which is, we don't really paskin this way today, but we saw in Moed Katan that even within 30 days of a particular regel, so there's certain curtailing of certain mourning practices. Again, it's not really contemporarily relevant. Moses is God's like that. So apparently Rebbe felt that you have 30 days on the back end also. So if a man says to his wife, this is your get on the condition that I don't come back after the Yom Tov, we don't say that the day after Yom Tov, if he's not back, the get goes into effect. We give him 30 days. So the other rabbis heard this, they said, very nice, but that's Rebbe's shita. That's not the normative approach. So the Gemara says, Mishmei de Rabin v'lo kal sua. But then what happened? Rabbi Chia went out and began to teach this halacha in the name of the Rabbim, in the name of the majority, and the other rabbis did not praise him. Both said they didn't praise him. Why? Because they did not agree that this was the viewpoint of the Rabbim. They just agreed that it was the viewpoint of Rebbe, and therefore they didn't like that Rabbi Chia was trying to position this as the majority opinion. Alma, therefore, less hilchos hakavosei. Therefore, Rabbi say the halacha does not follow Rebbe. And literally, if a man goes ahead and makes a tonight, makes a condition and says that if this is your get, if I don't come back after Yom Tov, so after Yom Tov means what, Rabbi say? After Yom Tov. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, we would say that if he's not back by the day after Yom Tov, the get, in fact, goes into effect and the woman is divorced. Hadrin alach mi sha'achzu. So we'll say, Mazel Tov, we finished the parak, and as Hashgacha Pratis would have it, it coincides with 8:12. We're going to continue, but of course, feel free to avail yourself of the coffee. So says the Mishnah, Hazorik et l'ishto. So we'll say, so again, and Matt, now we're going to get into a very interesting sugya, which, you know, if you've Gittin is a popular masechta in high school. So I was learning Gittin. So if you ever learned Gittin, I remember actually Gittin, I learned Gittin in ninth grade in high school. Mr. Gross is here. I learned it in JEC in Elizabeth. So, you know, it's one of my favorite masechta, an incredible Rebbe in ninth grade. So they don't do all the prakim in Gittin, but Hazorik, this perek is one of the most popular prakim because there's a lot of Yisodistic ideas. So if you ever learned Gittin in high school, chances are you learned this particular perek. So says the Mishnah, Hazorik get l'ishto. So a man goes ahead and throws a get to his wife. V'hi b'soch beisa. So we'll say up until now, we've only operated with the idea that a get can be delivered into the hand of a woman. Now the Mishnah is broadening our horizons and telling us that a get could in fact be delivered in different ways as well. Sazorik get lishto. Official, thank you very much. So if a man goes ahead and throws a get to his wife. Thank you. You can manage to throw it out. Thank you. So says the Mishnah, Zorik et l'ishto. So man goes out and throws a get to his wife, v'hi b'soch beisa, and she is within her home, o b'soch chatzera, or within her courtyard. Harezim migureshes. Ultimately, she is divorced. Zarkula b'soch beiso. O b'sol chatzero. However, if he throws her the get, and she's standing in his home, or standing in his chatzer, afilu hu ima b'mita. Even literally again, if he is with her in the same bed, and he gives her the get, eina migureshes. Ultimately, again, she is not divorced. L'solcheka, O l'solch kalasa. However, again, if he puts the deposit, the get, in her lap, or kalsa is her basket, hareza migureshes. Ultimately, again, she is divorced. Now, we're going to see, essentially, the Mishnah divides the cases into three parts. So part number one is her chatzer, she's in her domain. So the halacha is if he throws the get into her domain, then lamaisa, again, she is divorced. That's case number one. Case number two, she's in his rishus. Ultimately, again, she cannot use his property to get divorced. Case number three is she's in his domain, but he's depositing the get either onto her person, meaning in her lap, or ultimately in her property, in her basket, in which case she is divorced. Says the Gemara, menahani mili. So ask the Gemara, from where do we know that there's this concept that you could deposit the get into her property and that she's divorced? In other words, we'll say, this comes as a shock to us because remember, what does the pasuk say? V'nasan biyada. The pasuk explicitly says that the way that a man divorces a woman is he places the get into her hand. So where do we have this idea that suddenly you could place it into her property and she's going to be divorced? Menahan mili. The Tanur Rabbanan, v'nasan biyada. The pasuk says you shall place it into her hand. Ein li ela biyada. I only know her hand. Gaga chatzera v'karfifa minayin. How do I know that even if what? That even if I place the get, gaga means her roof, chatzera means her courtyard, karfifa is an enclosure. So how do I know that if I place it in any of these locations that she is divorced? Minayin, tamud lomar v'nasan. Sirabosei, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, the pasuk could have said, biyada yitnena. Yushor Yitnanu, but in her hand, shall he place the get. The fact that it says V'nasan Biyada teaches me that what? Teaches me that V'nasan comes first, telling me that there are more acts of Nesina, more acts of proper giving than just simple placement into her hand. So what does this come to include? This comes to include Lemaisa, again, a case of where you're depositing the get in her property, her rooftop, her chatzer. The Taina that supports this. Gabi Ganov. Listen to this. So we know this by a thief as well. Yodo. So remember the Pasuk says, actually not yet. So the Pasuk says, Yodo. Yodo teaches me about say that if I find the stolen item in the hands of the Ganov, that the Ganov is chayiv for theft. So inli ela Yado. I only know that is true if the Ganav steals with his hand. Gago chatzero v'karfifa minayin. How do I know that if a Ganav steals with his rooftop, with his chatzer, with his karfif, that he's also liable? Now, how could a Ganav steal with his chatzer, with his rooftop, his karfif? Listen to this. If, let's say, Reuven's animal runs into my chatzer, runs into my property, and I actively close the door, I close the door of the gate of the chatzer, behind Reuven's animal, that is an act of theft. Now, if I close it, that depends what my intention is. If I close the gate in order to safeguard the animal so I can return it to Reuven, that's not theft. But if I close the gate with the intention of acquiring Reuven's animal, that's considered to be an act of theft. So says the Gemara, I only know that a person could go ahead and steal something if he actively steals it with his hand. How do I know that even if I close my gate, the gate to my chatzar, the gate to my gad, the gate to my karfeif, if I close those things behind someone else's animal, that's also called an act of theft? Talmud lomar, himatze timatze b'chol makom. Because the pasuk says, in himatze timatze biyado hagneva. So we'll say, same idea over here. The fact that it doesn't say biyado first, it could have said, in biyad timsa, if you find it in his hand, I might have thought that, again, that means lamaisa only if he steals it with his hand. The fact that himatze timatze is stated first tells me that what? That if it's found in any way in the possession of the ganav, whether it's found in his hand or whether it's found in his chatzer, he's going to be liable. Therefore, again, tamulam himatze timatze mikol makom. So the Gemara essentially is teaching us that the same concept applies by get, and the same concept applies by geneva. In both cases, the principle is the same. Namely what? Namely, that you could acquire something not just through your hand, but also through your chatzer. Utzvicha. Now what the Gemara's unasked question is, why do I need to be taught this concept in both? I mean, just teach me this in one of the circumstances, and I would automatically extrapolate to the other. Meaning, all you need to teach me is that a person's property has the ability to acquire, and once you teach that principle, then what? Then what? I could apply it to other cases. So teach it to me by Geneva, and I'd be able to apply it to get. Teach it to me by get, and I could apply it to Geneva. Why do I need both cases? Utsricha says, "I'll tell you why." Diashmo inon get mishum de bal karcha megarsha. See, I might have thought maybe it's only by get that property acquires, since the husband has the ability to divorce his wife even against her will, and therefore halacha lemaisa. That is why the chutzner also has the ability to acquire. Avaganav de lesse bal karche imolo. But maybe by ganav, where we'll say there's no such thing as what? There's no such thing as bal karche theft. Meaning you're only a thief if you go ahead and you actively steal an item. So maybe in that case, a chutzner should not acquire on behalf of the thief. V'iashmo inam ganav mishum dekansi rachmano. And perhaps by ganav, I would have thought that the reason a chutzner acquires on behalf of the ganav is because by geneva in general, there are already biblical fines, right? There's already knas. So therefore, maybe that's the case where a chutzner acquires even if my hand doesn't. Aval get imalo, but perhaps get, the chutzner would not acquire. Therefore, what? Therefore, tzricha. So we'll say, so there, halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara teaches me is that even though I could have made the argument that once the Torah teaches me by ganav, that a chatzar acquires, I could be able to learn that by get. Or once it teaches me by get, I could have learned that by chatzar. The Gemara tells you, no, the case of get and the case of theft are too dissimilar to learn from one another. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the Torah needs to teach both of these individual cases the same principle. That what? That not only is it the hand that acquires, but a person's property has the ability to acquire on their behalf as well. So the Gemara now is teaching me a very important principle that I learn out essentially binasan biyada. I learn out from binasan that the husband has the ability to deposit the get in other places other than her yad, and she is still able to acquire that get. Where could he place it? He could place it on her rooftop. He could place it ultimately again in her chater. He could place it in her karfeit. We'll see what the common denominator between all those places are. But you could place it in her possession, even if it's not directly in her hand and she is divorced. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Chatzera. How can you place it in her chater? Masha kansi isha kanabayla. Is there not a more fundamental issue, which is whatever a woman acquires, her husband automatically acquires as well. Take a look at Rashi. Kana baila, lepeiros lishtamishba, va'akati lo nafik get miyade debal. Remember, we'll say, we've seen we're operating under a basic assumption that whatever a woman acquires, her husband acquires. Now, remember, what's the genesis of that idea? Chazal said that a husband has to go ahead and support his wife. That's one of the obligations that a husband has in marriage. The way the rabbis created a more quid pro quo situation is to say that therefore if a husband is obligated to go ahead and support his wife, whatever a wife earns or acquires goes to the husband. Otherwise, it was a concern of marital animosity. Because if a husband is obligated to go ahead and support his wife, but yet anything that a wife generates, earns, or acquires is her own, then it's like a shtickle double dipping. I have to support my wife, but yet she still gets to go. I mean, I'm happy to support my wife, even if she gets to keep her stuff. Right? But again, there could be a potential. It's hard, but my jokes don't go over well when there's not coffee. I realize that. It's a tough crowd without coffee. Okay. We'll just stick to the Gemara. So in any event, so therefore the Gemara says, in order to avoid this marital animosity, so Chazal gave a husband whatever the wife acquires. So therefore what that means is, just a simple example, a woman is walking down the street, she finds a $100 bill. Who does that $100 bill belong to on a technical halachic level? Her husband. So asks the Gemara, I don't understand. You're making this sound like that if a husband throws the get into the wife's chutzner, that the wife acquires the get. You have a more fundamental problem. Whatever the wife acquires, her husband acquires. And that's the case. And essentially what's happening over here, the husband is like he's taking the get from one hand and he's putting it in his other hand. How is she divorced? To which the Gemara says, Amar Belazar, Bekol Sevla Din Udvarim Eli Benechsayich. Oh, what's the case here? The case is where he writes, I don't want anything to do with your property. In other words, he is removing his ownership interest from her property. And therefore, again, by removing his ownership interest from her property, she is now the full owner of her chatzar, which means that when he throws the get into her chatzar, she acquires the get. Patience, my friend. We're going to get to it. Excellent. Bar Shekivanta. Nechemiah is saying good. Nechemiah is saying, okay, if you ask this question, then how does a husband ever give his wife a get? Because when he delivers the get, and forget about her chatzar. Nechemiah is saying, you put it into her hand. What you're just saying over here is, when a husband puts a get into his wife's hand, it's as if he's handing it into his other hand. Good, we're going to get to it. So the Gemara says, v'chis kasav l'hachi, my havi. But it's interesting. You see, it's interesting how the Gemara only begins to think about this question when we bring up chatzar. Even though this seems to be like a yisodistic question we should have asked on daf beis and aleph, we're going to get to it. So the Gemara says, now just follow this flow. So the Gemara wants to say, how could a husband go ahead and put a get into his wife's chatzar at the end of the day, putting it into her chatzar, whatever she acquires, he acquires. So now I need to structure a case where she could acquire from her chatzar without the husband's ability to acquire. Oh, what's the case? Where he makes a statement. He writes, Din udvarim eini b'nechsayich. I have no ownership interest over your property. He divests himself of any ownership interest over her property, and therefore Allah Khalamaisa, she is the full owner of her property. Therefore, when he puts it in her chatzar, she acquires it. Says the Imar, does that work? V'chi kasav lahachi mayhabi. So if he writes that type of lashon, does that really work? V'atayimbo said, this is actually quite interesting. Ha'omer lechavero, if someone says to his friend, Din udvarim eini asada zu. I have no involvement in this sada. The eini esekba. I have no interest in this. No business. No financial interest in this field. The yadi misula kesem, and my hands are removed from it. Lo amar klum. Lo amar klum. So his words are meaningless. Now let's clarify this case. This is talking about a case. Imagine for a second, Reuven and Shimon are partners in a piece of real estate. And Reuven decides he wants out of the partnership. So what does he say? I have nothing to do with this land anymore. I have no interest in it. My hands are removed from it. Now, what's Reuven's intention? Reuven's intention is to convey his ownership interest over to Shimon. I don't want this anymore. It's yours. So the Brisa teaches me that Reuven cannot transfer his ownership interest to Shimon with these lashonos. Because these are lashonos of what? These are lashonos more of just withdrawal. In order to convey ownership interest to someone else, there has to be a formulation of conveyance. So I'm giving it to you. I'm conveying this to you. To simply remove yourself from something in a partnership does not convey your ownership interest to someone else. So therefore, again, the Gemara is saying over here, you wanted to say, follow this train of thought, the way the husband is able to allow his wife's chatzar to acquire on her behalf is how? To remove himself from any ownership interest in her property. So what does he say? Dinu dvarm in yasadizu. I have nothing to do with this property, it's yours. Says Gemara, but that type of lashon doesn't work. Dinu dvarm in yasadizu doesn't work. I mean, if you have an ownership interest in someone, in something, and you suddenly say, I don't have an ownership interest anymore, I have nothing to do with this, that's not a conveyance of ownership. Such a lashon. This is a din in choshen nishvat. This is a din in real estate law. By the way, it's not just din in real estate, it's actually a din in partnership law. That you can't confer, you can't convey your ownership interest in a particular piece of property to someone else by simply saying, I'm not involved in this property anymore. To which the Gemara says, so how does it work over here by Chatzar? So, Amri Divei Rabbi Yarai, oh, listen to this. Because save lava oda arusa. Oh. So here's the issue. And this is fascinating. Why? The Gemara wants to make the following suggestion. We'll say, there is a difference between conveying something you already own versus preventing ownership from ever occurring. So if I already own something, there's a much higher threshold I have to reach to convey that ownership interest to someone else. As opposed to, if I don't yet own something, I could prevent my ownership from ever setting in with a relatively innocuous case. For example, the Gemara Rabbeinu wants to suggest the following. When a husband, let's say a man marries a woman, I remember two stages of marriage, erusin and nisuin. At what point in time does a husband get ownership interest or usage rights in his wife's property? Nisuin. During Erusin, he does not have, for the simple, remember, like we said before, because ownership interest in his wife's property is a result of what, or I should say, is the quid pro quo for his obligation to support her. The obligation to support her doesn't kick in until Nisuin. So listen to this. If during Nisuin a man says, Dinu dvarim eli asad azuin li binichsayich, I have no idea with your property, that type of lashon doesn't work. Why? Because he already owns it. So if you want to divest yourself of an ownership interest, there are mechanisms by the way you can do that. There are mechanisms through which you can do that. To simply say, I don't want anything to do with this property doesn't work. But if he says when she's in Arusa, that's what? Dinu dvaram eli b'sadazu, eli asadazu. If he writes when she's in Arusa, meaning before he gets ownership rights, I just want to tell you, I don't want anything to do with your property, then since he does not yet have ownership interest, that type of lashon is enough to deflect the ownership interest from ever setting in. The Gemara goes weiter. Shuv kind of writes that a nachala, a portion that comes to a person from another place, and Rashi points out over in Makom Acher means she'eno yerushas avosav min haTorah, a non-biblical entitlement. So a non-biblical entitlement that's coming to a person from another source, a person has the ability to make a condition, to be masna, to make a condition upon it that he will not inherit it. Ukidirava the Amarav, Rava said Amud Veis HaOmer. If someone says, if a person says, I don't want a rabbinic entitlement like this one, shominlo, we listen to him, so what the Gemara is pointing out over here is the following, that essentially, if the rabbis gave you an entitlement, and you say you don't want the entitlement, simply saying, I don't want the entitlement, is enough to prevent the entitlement from kicking in. So therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that the case, and now it gets a little bit of a convoluted explanation, but the Gemara wants to suggest that how is it that a woman has a chatzar? How is it that she has a chatzar through which she could acquire a get? If at the end of the day, a husband has ownership interest in her chatzar, and therefore when he throws the get into her chatzar, that should be the equivalent of what? Of him handing it from his left hand to his right hand. To which he wants, I'll tell you the case that could come up. And what is that? Where during Erusin, he made the statement of Din Udvarim Ainli Al Sadazu. I don't want your property. I don't want your property. How could a husband do that? Oh, because Rabbi said, what did Rabbi say? That any entitlement that the rabbis gave to you, you have the right to say no thank you. What's the paradigmatic example of this? The paradigmatic example is, so we said before, a woman is entitled to support. The rabbis gave the woman the right, her husband has to support her. But again, let's say a woman says, I don't want that support. Why would a woman not want the support? Right? She makes more money than her husband. So she says, I love you, I appreciate it, but no thank you. Why does she want it? I want to keep my own earnings, right? She makes more than the value of her support. So she says, I appreciate the offer. But again, let's say this. You keep your support, I'll keep my earnings. Yes?
This, he can only change his mind.
Oh, good. Sari's saying good. So, let's say, this is like two Ranchley questions. Where's everybody else over here? You know, what's happening? Come on, this is, oh God, that's right. That's true. That is true. That's right. That's a good point. All right. So, thank you, Rachmiel. Good. So again, good. Ari's saying good, which is at the end of the day, this makes it sound like he's got like a one-shot opportunity to establish the status quo. So we'll hold on to that for just a moment. So now just follow this thought. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is, and again, this is a very narrow scope. So the Gemara is suggesting that the only way that a woman's chatzar could acquire her get on her behalf sounds like is if during Erusin the husband said, I don't have any interest in your property, and he has the right to do that because this is an entitlement that Chazal are giving him. When it comes to a rabbinic entitlement, the person has the right to say, no thank you. He's saying, no thank you. Therefore, again, he has no rights in her chatzar. Therefore, she has the ability to acquire her chatzar. So the Gemara says, one second. Rava Amar. Atu yada milo kanyi lebal. So Rava asks Nechemia's question, which is, let's go back for a second. So now, let's say a husband, forget about chatzar, a husband places a get in the hands of his wife. Does her hand not have the ability to acquire her get? Now we'll say, so we know that that is true. Meaning we know for a fact that when a man places a get in his husband's, when a man places a get in his wife's hand, so we know again that lemaisa, that works. We know it works. Now the problem we're up against is we're now no longer sure why that works. Because based on what we just said, the truth is, remember, her yad is also acquired by her husband. Meaning whatever she acquires in her hand is acquired by her husband as well. So Rabbah essentially says, atu yad milo kanya. Now, we're working backwards. We know for a fact that when he places the get in her hand, she acquires the get. Now the question is, well, how does that work? Ella gita biyada boinke echad. Oh, let's say, I'm going to use a term that was coined by my ninth grade Rebbe. Which is, there's a din of simultaneity. What's the din of simultaneity? Gita v'yad debayin ke'echad means that what? Her get and her hand, meaning she acquires her get, and she acquires the acquisitory powers of her hand at once. They occur simultaneously. So the moment that the husband goes and puts the get in her hand is the moment that she acquires, reacquires the rights of her hands as well. Ha'che na'mi, so you have to say over here, so Rava says the answer to all of our problems is simultaneity. Everything happens at once. Just like when he puts, because this has to be the way it works, says Rava, because otherwise a woman can never acquire a get. And forget about chatzar, in her hand. So just like we say that the moment he places the get in her hand, simultaneously she reacquires her rights of yad. So too, when he places the get in her chatzar, she reacquires the rights of that chatzar simultaneously as well. Is Rava so bothered by the question of how her hands acquires? That's not a kasha, I'll tell you why. This is a very important distinction. So Ravina said to Ravashi, it's not a kasha about how a woman could acquire a get in her hand. Because it's true, a husband has rights in his wife's hand, but he does not own her yad. In other words, what the husband owns are the rights to her earnings, are the rights to what she produces, and the rights to what she finds. So what he owns are the acquisitory powers of her hands, but does not own her yad. Now you're going to see what this means. As opposed to Amali Rava, Yada Eved Kasha. You're right. You know what the real Kasha would be? It's not on a woman. It's not on a wife. It's on an Eved. Because by an Eved, a master absolutely owns his Eved. In other words, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is a husband does not own his wife's Yad. What he owns is what she generates or what she acquires with the Yad. Now the truth is, the question still does stand to a certain degree because the way a woman becomes divorced is how? She acquires her get. What the Imara is suggesting, however, is again, it's not such a big kasha with a woman because she still retains ownership over her own yad. The real question is with an eved. After all, again, the man to Amar b'shtar ayi the atzmo yad eved kiad rabo damyo. So we'll say the question comes up with an eved. Let's say a master wants to free his eved, and let's say according to the opinion who says that a master could deliver a shtar shichur, a document of emancipation, directly into the hands of the eved. Well, how could that happen? Because there, literally, the adon owns the hand of the eved himself. If that's the case, then the master delivers the shtar shticher into the hands of the eved. He's essentially what? Taking it from one hand and putting it in the other hand. Ela gita v'yada boin ke'echad. Hachinami gita v'chatzera boin ke'echad. So I will say, so now what we end off with is the following. We end off with two possibilities. Possibility number one is Rava's simultaneity idea. Namely, that even if you want to hold that the husband owns the full acquisitory capability or power of his wife's yad, it's okay, she could still acquire the get. Why? Because gita v'yada bayin ke'echad. Her get and her hands, the acquisitory power of her hands, occur at once. And therefore she's able to acquire the get. And Rava says, We just applied that same logic to a chatzar. Is it true that the husband owns the rights in the chatzar? Absolutely. But the moment the husband puts the get into the chatzar, so she acquires the rights of her chatzar and the get simultaneously. Therefore, I will say, you don't have to define it. See, what the Gemara is now is doing is, what Rabbi's answer does for us is, in the Hamamina, the only way that a woman's chatzar acquires her get on her behalf is a very narrow case of where the husband divested himself of the rights of acquisition during Erusin. Now what the Gemara is saying is, it's not true. Even if the husband has enjoyed the rights of the chatzar this entire time, Lamaisa, again, she still acquires the get when it's put in her chatzar. Why? Remember this phrase, it's very important. Gita v'chatzera ba'in ke'echad. Her get and her rights to her chatzar vest back with her at the same time. Just like, again, according at least to one opinion, Gita v'yada ba'in ke'echad. Sigmar tells a story. Who shchimira? There was a shchimira, a man on his deathbed. Then what happened? The kasav l'gita l'dvisu, he wrote a get for his wife, v'hadi hanya d'mali Shabbos. Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos. Now again, whenever you see these cases of a get, of a shchimira, generally, a person is writing a get for his wife on his deathbed. Why? Why? He wants her to be able to avoid Yibum. That's generally the case. That's generally the circumstances here. So he writes the get on Erev Shabbos. V'lo hispik l'meisav lo. But he didn't have a chance to give it to her on Shabbos. Now as we're going to see, you cannot give a get on Shabbos. Now the reason you can't give a get on Shabbos is l'meisa again, because the transaction. Any type of kinyan is really prohibited on Shabbos, types of different transactions. Which, now again, there's a different issue over here. The issue over here seems to be was also an issue of chotzah. Remember, again, the get was in one rishus, the woman's in a different rishus, so they can't get the get to the woman. L'maisa, again, at the end of the day, you can't transport the get through rishus. So yachid, fine. So what happens? L'machar takif la'alma. So the next day, the man got very sick, meaning the shchimira's situation worsened, and his death was imminent. Asul l'kamidra, so we'll say we have a problem. What's the problem? We want to be able to give this woman a get. Now, we're going to discuss exactly the mechanics of this case, but they want to be able to give her the get. The problem is they can't transport the get to her. So what do they do? Amalahu, zilu amrale, likne nihila lahu duchta diyasabegita, v'tezel ihi, v'techud v'tiftach v'tach sikbe. So we have, what's the etza? Tell the husband to convey the area upon which the get is situated. So the get was in a particular room. Tell the husband to convey ownership of the room to the woman. Now, how does the woman convey ownership over the room? So how do you acquire ownership over property? Some, what's called chazaka. Chazaka is a proprietary act. So tell the husband, convey ownership of the room over to the woman. The woman will come to the room. She'll open and close the door. She acquires the room. And now, oh, what happens when she acquires the room? There's something called the kinyan agav. So kinyan agav means what? That when you acquire property, real property, you also acquire what? Anything that is on the property itself. Oh, so you should know, where do we do this? We do a kinyan agav every year. By one of the kinyonim we do, by Mechiras Chametz. By Mechiras Chametz we do a whole bunch of kinyonim. One of the things that we do is, we also rent the Nachri, we rent the Gentile, the space upon which the Chametz is situated. And we say to the Nachri, you own real property now, and by giving you, by leasing you this land, you also, by definition, acquire anything that is situated on this land. So this is the Eitzah. Now, I want to just point out, we're going to come back to this more tomorrow, but there's still a Hilchos Shabbos issue over here. The Hilchos Shabbos issue is what? There's a kinyan being made. Right? There's a kinyan, meaning you're not allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos. Why can't you make kinyanim on Shabbos? Why can't you make kinyanim? Because again, it's a gzera of mekachu memkar. It's a gzera that one may come to engage in business. In other words, biblically, you can make kinyanim on Shabbos. Midrabanan, we don't want you to make kinyanim. You know where this comes up. A person has to be careful with this, with giving gifts on Shabbos. Going out to someone's house on Shabbos, you want to bring them a gift. So giving gifts on Shabbos is halachically problematic, because to acquire a gift is an issue of mekach u'memkar. There are the simple way around it is, you acquire the gift on behalf of your host on Erev Shabbos. Without getting into all the technicalities, you can't really, if you're the giver, you can't really be the conveyor. You have to give it to a third party to be able to acquire it. Whatever. It's a little bit beyond our scope right now. But the Maaser person has to be careful about this, about giving gifts on Shabbos. So the Gemara says over here, so again, there is a rabbinic halachic issue over here, but we'll discuss how we deal with that tomorrow. But the point we tell the woman is, go to the room, acquire the room, and through the proprietary act on the room, you acquire the get in the room as well. After, so the Gemara says, this nan, Na'al gadol uparetz kol sharezu chazaka. Because again, when acquiring real property, if you go ahead and you lock the door, lock the gate, or you put up a gate, or you breach the gate, all of those things are considered to be proprietary acts that establish ownership. Amalei Rav Elish l'Rava, Masha kansi isha kana baila. So Rav Elish said, Rav, but how does this work? You're telling the woman to go and acquire the room in which the get is situated. Why should this work? After all, Masha kana isha kana baila. Whatever a woman acquires, her husband acquires as well. Therefore, why should this work? Echsif. So Echsif, Rava was embarrassed because Rava felt that he ruled incorrectly. So it turned out afterwards that what? That the woman in question, the wife, was an Arusa. Oh, so if she was an Arusa, the Eitza Rava actually works. Why? Because if she's an Arusa, her husband does not yet own her yad, or have the rights in her hand. So the husband doesn't have control over her acquisitory abilities. Therefore, again, Lamaisa, telling the wife to acquire the room, and once she acquires the room, she acquires the get in the room, actually works. So Amar Rava, im yomru b'nesua, yomru b'arusa. So Rava says again, if you highlight that it's a problem by an arusa, Lamaisa, again what? Excuse me, if you hold that it's a problem by Nesua, because Masha Kana Isha Kana Baila, does that problem apply within Arusa? So Rava answered, my ruling works. Why? Because the particular woman in question was an Arusa and not a Nesua. Hada Amar Rava, Loshna Arusa Veloshna Nesua. Rava then later on said, you know what, the truth is my ruling was right. Whether the woman in question was an Arusa, whether she's a Nesua, why? Gita Vechatzera Boim Ke'echad. Why? Because at the end of the day, Rava said, simultaneity. Simultaneity, her get and her chatzar occur at once. In other words, or I should say, her ability to acquire her get and her chatzar vest simultaneously. I v'ha amra Rava meikara. But why do I have to restate this? Rava said this already. Ki amra Rava ahai maisa amra. Oh, so where did Rava first express this shita? The Gemara says Rava shita was a result of this particular episode. So again, what comes out halacha l'maisa from this exchange is, if you want to understand how it is that a woman could acquire a get, whether she's acquiring the get in her hand or whether she's acquiring the get in her chatzar, how does she acquire? If at the end of the day, everything a wife acquires is acquired by her husband, to which the brava answers, it's the principle of simultaneity. Gita v'yada boin ka'achos, gita v'chatzira boin ka'achos, the simultaneity principle allows for her to acquire her get and her yad at the same time, to acquire her get and her chatzar at the same time. Says the Gemara, v'hi b'soch b'isa. So remember again, the Mishnah ruled that if a husband throws the get into her home or into her chatzar, so she is divorced. The Gemara now qualifies this ruling. Amar Ula, v'hu sha'omedes b'tzad b'iso b'tzad chasera. Ula says this only works if she is literally standing right by her house or right by her chatzar. In other words, again, as long as she's standing there, it works. Rabbi Oshia Amar, Afilu hi betveria vechatzera betzipuri, hi betzipuri vechatzera betveria migureshes. Rabbi Oshia says, no, not true. Even if her chatzar is in one place and she's somewhere else, literally, she's in, right, the chatzar is in Tveria, she's in Tzipori. Or the chatzar is in Tzipori, she's in Tveria, she's divorced. So the Gemara says, Vahi besoch beiso besoch chatzera katani. But yet the Mishnah says that the case of where it works, if he throws it into her chatzar or into her bayis or into her home, that she's divorced, the Mishnah says that she's in the house or she's in the chatzar. Hachi kamer blessi, this is what it means to say, v'hi kami shebesoch beisa, v'hi kami shebesoch chatzera. What Rav Oshia says is that it doesn't literally mean that she has to be by the home or by the chatzar. It's as if she's in the home or as if she's in the chatzar. What does that mean? We'll say what Rav Oshia requires is that it's what's called a chatzar hamishtameres ledaita. Literally a chatzar that is guarded according to her das. Look at Rashi. Kimisha besoch beisa, it's towards the bottom of the daf. Kimisha besoch beisa. Ki'ilu hi besoch beisa. Umayhi, what does it mean? It's as if she's in her home. Umayhi deboina detevi chatzar mishtameres ledaita. Kilomar. What we need is for the chatzar to be under her control. As long as the chatzar is under her control, even if what? Even if there is not physical or geographic proximity, we consider that as if she's standing in the chatzar itself. La fuki hadamina aperkin la kamon nasan get biat avda meir eno get avi lechazim mishtemesh shelo ladaita. So as we'll see, by the way, so what Rav Oshir requires is we don't need her to actually be in the house. We don't need her to actually be in the chatzar. What we need is what's called a chatzar mishtemeres ladaita. That the chatzar is under her control. We'll see, by the way, that this is opposed to the case where someone puts a chatzar, let's say someone puts a get in the hands of her eved. So remember again, a slave, an eved, is considered to be like karka. So we're going to see there's going to be a suggestion floated that if the husband places the get in her eved's hand, that she should be divorced atz kinyan chatzar. The Gemara is going to say that on that doesn't work. Why? Because although an Eved is a chatzer, or like a chatzer, an Eved is not mishtameres ledaita. An Eved is not under her control. What does it mean an Eved is not under her control? Why not? Because an Eved has his own das and could do whatever he wants. That is opposed to land. Property is under her control, and therefore, again, is mishtameres ledaita. So therefore, again, the fundamental machlokes between Ula and Rav Oshir now is what? Is again, what's the definition of a chatzar that could acquire in her behalf? Ula says she mamish has to have geographic proximity. She has to be standing there. Rav Oshir says she doesn't have to be standing there. As long as what? As long as the property is under her control, that's going to be enough. Slim b'hakam iflagi. So maybe their argument is about the following. Demar savar chatzar mishum yada isra'boi. Umar savar chatzar mishum shlichus isra'boi. Oh, maybe the fundamental machlokus is the nature of chatzar. Why does chatzar work? So one possibility is that chatzar is an extension of her hand. Now, if you hold that chatzar is an extension of her hand, then what? Then just like her hand is right next to her, so to her chatzar, she has to be right next to her chatzar for it to work as well. The other opinion holds that chatzar is an extension of shlichus, of agency. And just like the agent need not be in proximity to the woman in order for the agency to work, so to the chatzar need not be in proximity to the woman, or the woman not need be in proximity to the chatzar in order for it to work. Lo, Yimar says, no, that's not it. T'chuli alma chatzar mishum yada isra'boi. Everyone holds that chatzar is an extension of one's hand. It's very important, Yisod, that the halachic ability for chatzar to work, to acquire on behalf of the owner of the chatzar, is because my property is considered to be an extension of my yad. Mar savar ki yada, ma yada b'smucha, af chatzar b'smucha. So one opinion says, if chatzar is like yad, this is Ula's opinion, therefore, just like my hand is close to my body, therefore what? My chatzar has to be close to my body in order for me to acquire it as well. The idaf, the other opinion says, I ma yada b'divuka, af chatzar b'divuka. If you're going to be so literal, then you should say, just like your hand is attached to you, so to your chatzar is attached to you. That can't be ela ki yada. Rather, your chatzar has to be like your hand. How so? Ma yada mishtameres ladaita. Just like my hand is under my control, it's good, literally, it's guarded by me, it's under my control. So too, again, chatzar only acquires if what? If it's what's called mishtameres ledaita, meaning it's under the control of the woman. This comes to exclude a chatzar over which she does not have control. So we're going to see what that case is. Again, I've already kind of given that away to you. That's the case of like the Eved, where although again, the Eved is like your chatzar, it's not mishtameres ledaita. So who gavra? The Gemara tells a story. Who gavra? So again, I just want to point out, so now what we've established, just to follow the progression, we've established that a woman's chatzar could acquire her get on her behalf. And we've established that the mechanics of that are because gita v'chatzera ba'in ke'achat, simultaneity. Now, the further machlokis is, what type of chatzar has the ability to acquire on the woman's behalf? Fundamental machlokis, Ula, Rav Oshir. Ula says it works as long as the woman is right there. Rav Oshir says it works even if the woman is not there. Now, what's the logic? So again, why does chatzar work? So now we've established, everyone agrees that chatzar works. Why? Because chatzar is an extension of my yad, of my hand. Oh, so now that I know that, the machlokis is, how do we view the comparison, or how do we view that extension? So Ula will say, just like my hand is next to me, is a part of me, so too, again, I have to be next to my chatzar in order for it to work. Rav Oshir will say, just like my hand is mishtameres ledaati, I have control over my hand, so too, again, the woman has to have control over the chatzar, which means that as long as she has control over the chatzar, even if she doesn't have geographic proximity, the chatzar can still acquire on her behalf. Ho gavra, dezarch legit ledvisu. So listen to this. So there was a man who threw a get to his wife. Habakaima b'chatzar. So remember again, she was standing in the chaser. Azal gital nafal bapisla. And the get fell on top of a piece of wood. So Amar Rav Yosef chazinon, ihavya arba amos al arba amos, paligvei reshusel nafshei. So now this get fell on a piece of wood. So the status is, did she acquire the get or not? So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef, it depends. Did the piece of wood have the dimensions of 4 amos by 4 amos? If that's the case, then what's the halach? We know this from our Shabbos days, from our Erevin days, that anything that has the dimensions of dalet amos by dalet amos is considered what? A separate rishus. If that's the case, then it fell into a separate rishus and the woman doesn't acquire it. V'ilo, but if the wood does not have the dimensions of dalet by dalet, then chad rishusihi. Then it's considered to be one rishus and ultimately the woman is divorced. So the Gemara says, one second. Am I asking, you know, what's the case over here? Ilema b'chatzer dida. If we're talking about that she's standing in her own chatzar, ki habi dalet amos may habi. So who cares what size the piece of wood is? If she's standing in her chatzar, then what? Then what? Then she's divorced. Because whether the piece of wood is dalet amos or not dalet amos, it's all her chatzar. Ela bechatzar didei. Oh, what's the case? The case is where she's standing in his chatzar. Well, if she's standing in his chatzar, ki lo habi arba amos may habi. Even if the piece of wood is not dalet amos, who cares? Because if she's standing in his chatzar, then what? Then lemais again, it's his property. She's not divorcing that chatzar anyway. Lotzicha, what's the case? Oh, du ushla makom. The case over here is where the husband is lending his wife space in his chatzar to acquire the get. And the klal is, chad makom mushli inshi, trei makomos lo mushli inshi. The general klal is, that's what? That a husband will lend his wife one space in which to acquire the get, but will not lend her two spaces. Therefore, the Maaseh, if he lends her space to acquire the get, that's one chatzar. And if the get ends up falling on something that's considered to be a different reshus, the assumption is that that is a space owned by the husband, not by the wife, and therefore she's not divorced. Velo amran edlo gava asara. Furthermore, again, when do we say that a makom that's dalet al dalet? I would say, just you should understand, when the Gemara says things like this, be careful not to disparage it, meaning don't laugh it off. And the reason don't laugh it off is because Chazal are reflecting norms, right? When the Chazal says, this is how people lend stuff. So if the husband lends his wife a particular place, what he's saying is, I'm lending you this space and nothing else. So they're reflecting the mindset of the way people lent spaces. So therefore, if the get ends up falling in a different space, Lamaisa, that's not her space. She wasn't given the rights to that space, and therefore, again, she's not divorced. The Gemara further qualifies, if lo amran, ela delo gavoa asara. Furthermore, again, when do we say that dalet al dalet is a separate space? That's only if it wasn't 10 tefachim high. Aval gavoa asara, afagav lo havi arba amos. Remember, we know this from our Shabbos and Erevin days. Meaning the idea over here is that it's a separate reshus. So if it's a separate reshus, where dalet al dalet is only a separate reshus when there's not a height. If there's a height of 10 tefachim, that's a separate reshus, even if what? Even if it's not dalet al dalet. Velo amran ela deles le shem levai. Furthermore, again, when do we say that you need dimensions of either dalet, or a height of 10 tefachim in order to be considered a separate reshus? That's only if that space does not have its own name. About isle shem levai, in other words, if you have a space that's less than dalet, or less than 10 tefachim high, that space can still be considered a separate reshus if what? If it has its own identity, meaning if it's known by its own name. However, about isle shem levai, if it has its own name, afagav de less leg, de lo gavo asara, even if it's not 10 tefachim high, the afagav de lo havi arba amos, and even if it's not dalet amos, it's still considered to be its own reshus, and therefore if the get were to fall there, the woman would not be divorced. So remember, what the Gemara is saying is this is a very specific case where husband is lending his wife a particular area in order for her to be able to receive the get there. He throws the get. It turns out that the get actually lands on an object. That object is either one of three things. Either is dalet al dalet, or it's 10 tefachim high, or it's a place that is neither of those two, but has its own identity. So what the Gemara just teaches me is that Lamais, if it falls on a place like that, the woman is not divorced, even though that object is within the space that the husband lent the woman. But since that object has an identity of a reshus on its own, therefore she's not divorced. Very specific case. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. But again, just to review what comes out from today. What comes out from today is we've been introduced to dramatically new, groundbreaking, life-altering concepts, which is that a woman could be acquired if a get is put into a reshus. Again, let's just review a couple of points. Where do we know that from? Number one, Vinasan. Vinasan teaches me that a husband could place the get in other places other than her hand, namely her reshus, her gag, her roof, her chatzer, her karfeif, other enclosures. Number two, we learn that chatzer is an extension, ultimately, again, of yad, of her hand. Just like she has the ability to acquire in her hand, chatzer, her property, is an extension of her person. But one second, how do we get around the fact that what Masha Kana Isha Kana Baila, to which we're also introduced to Rava's groundbreaking concept of simultaneity. Namely that, again, the get and her acquisitory powers vest back with her at the same exact moment. So the moment that the get is placed in her hand, the moment that the get is placed in her chatzer, everything happens at once. She gets back the rights of her yad, she gets back the acquisitory rights of her chatzer, and in that moment when she gets those rights back, she also acquires her get. All right, well, so we'll stop over here. We'll continue on Ayin Ches tomorrow.